Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody to the library board meeting. Heather Epperson Tanner.
Go ahead and say your name. And
Christina Spicer.
Nancy Coleman.
Danny Good, County Council.
Mitzi Nelson, Secretary.
Juan Lee, Library Director.
Turn the time over to Juan.
Okay. In the interest of time,
we got 2 minutes. That's right.
Right. I propose that that we
Go
to the minutes first, and
I'll make a motion to pass the minutes as presented, to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second it.
So we got our motion and second.
Approved.
All in favor.
All in favor. That's right. All in favor.
Okay.
I knew there was something I was supposed to say.
We have formally approved the minutes.
Any questions on, I hope you had an opportunity to read my beautiful prose in the director's report. It was rather long, sorry, but there were lots of pictures. I just want to commend the two Eagle Scout projects and the young men that work on them, and really thank you to their respective mothers, because they ended up doing a lot of the work. But now we have three free libraries in Wasatch County that these one young man worked on, and the other one created the games and puzzles collection downstairs from donations, and they are going out very, very well. I saw yesterday morning a young family just playing on the tables over there, so great addition.
I have one question. Who's going to keep stocking those three libraries now that have been put up over there?
The young man has stopped once already, saying that can we have a few donations to replenish the one in Wallsburg, I think he said. So he's keeping an eye on that. Personally, I'd like to just drive around, and we do have an agreement with the Friends of the Library that it's okay to replenish those free libraries from the donations that we receive from discards.
I'm sad that they didn't put one in front of my house. I asked them. I wanted one.
You can always put one.
My husband won't make me one. He said if someone donates one for it to you, then that's different. You can supply it and be all happy and take care of it.
Do you know if they're registering these with the Little Free Library Network?
Oh, they need to.
I do not know that. I will ask. And
there's a little,
it's a little clock
that goes on too, or something.
Okay,
but on the web page you can register them. You know this, right?
And to see,
and you can see them on the map.
Well, the nice thing about that,
we've got about 6 now in the county, maybe 7.
Really?
The nice thing about that is my girlfriend lives in Minnesota, and when she comes out for the summer, she just goes to all the fruit because she can look them up on the map and see where they are. So she'll come visit Heber and Heber and Provo, and then she goes on to California and can look at the ones there, too.
Thank you. It went over my head. I forgot all about that. Thank you. We will follow up on that. Any other questions on
just, you know, the Little Free Library, I don't think you were back on the board, and I don't think you were on yet when we started doing those with the library board. In fact, I think Kendall was still on. I think I was just a citizen at the time on the board. And I brought it because I went to the conference. Mm-hmm. To the big conference and saw that. And I'd heard about it before, but I'd forgotten. And so we did a little presentation. We had the projector and stuff. And then the board said, hey, this would be a good idea, but we didn't have a friends group at the time. We didn't have a mechanism for really doing it. And so Kendall said, let's make those Eagle Scout projects.
Oh.
So that's kind of how it came to be part of the library.
That is cool.
And it's been a really positive addition to what
we've been
have.
Trying to get one in Longford for a long time, so that's awesome that they have one.
And now that the scouting program changes, we might have to look at some other way to get them going.
Huh. Sure. One item that I do want to bring to your attention is that we have established an agreement of sorts with Summit County. During the summer, the bookmobile from Summit County served the town of Hideout. And they stopped at the affordable housing community there in Todd Hollow. Now it's called Deer Mountain. Deer Mountain. And so during the summer, the bookmobile would come once a week and provide a limited number of materials for the kids in that were there, and we went and provided some programs. It was successful, and so we talked about continuing that type of service throughout the school year. And we agreed they will stop once every other week, so not weekly. But that's a normal bookmobile schedule. Mm-hmm. They stop in their different community stops or schools, wherever they go, once every other week. They will continue providing materials, and we will go. I think we established four dates from now until May, where we will have special programs. Halloween is one of them. Around Christmas will be another one. The first of the year, there will be another one. Spring, another one. And we met with the director of Summit County Library, the bookmobile librarian, and the manager of the Deer Mountain housing. And they're all excited. It is a good thing. We will reimburse them for the costs. My estimate is about $1,500 for, is it 8 months? Anyway, from October 3rd until May 14th, I believe, is the last day.
I think that's a great use of
money. Big time.
It is.
Some with the high school, they have an outreach program where they have the high school students go into the low income and give books to the kids at Christmas. It might be interesting. It might be.
Latinos in Action.
Yeah.
And I've heard they've done some outreach services
might be
like
an option
that.
If you're going to go up at Christmas, tell
for
them,
sure.
Tell high school so that those kids can coordinate with that so they can go with you.
You know, that area of the county is really difficult for us to get service to because those kids travel 1 hour. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's 2 hour travel a day to come to our schools. But they're so far on the other side that all the community services that they really want to use are in Park City and Summit County.
And a lot of those, the demographic of those people, they only have one car.
Right.
And so to go anywhere... It's really hard anyway. So anything we can bring to them.
And one of the challenges we encounter, not this summer, but last summer, is that when the kids get home, during the summer they're home all day, but right when school was ending, they would get home, and then parents don't come home for another couple of hours. And so the kids really didn't go out of the unit. And so the bookmobile was there in that period of time when they really couldn't go out. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing we fixed this year is to change the scheduling to allow for more kids to show up once they had a parent somewhere close.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is that I'm hoping that this model of cooperation with Summit County can be copied for some other things between Wasatch County and Summit County. I was in a forum this past week that was broadcast on KPCW, put on by the Park Record, and we were talking about the impacts of all the growth in that area. But most of that growth in that area is Wasatch County's growth as a result of this MIDA thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. But it's going to have impacts on all these communities. But Hideout especially is a community that is really underserved.
Yeah.
They have no commercial. They were developed as one. It was a development that turned into a city.
Yeah.
And they had no commercial elements. So they have really low taxes. They're not able to do anything for their community. And so if we can partnership with Summit County to help cover some of those services. But also, could we talk to Utah County Library and see about, unless we think we can handle it over in Wallsburg. I know Wallsburg is traditionally underserved for a lot of people are so far out that a lot of the people live there. And it's I think it's equal for them to either come work in Heber or to go into Provo. Mm-hmm. That's out, right?
Or even Orem.
Yeah, so that's where they get a lot of their community stuff from. They just go that way if we don't have something.
You know, I think Summit County is very much willing to do that. I know the library for sure They invited me actually to participate in voter registration, which happened September 24th, and to do some of that outreach and in collaboration with them. I dropped the ball on that one, and we didn't participate. On Wednesday, I met with a couple of folks from the League of Women Voters.
Right.
And I apologize for not doing anything on that day, but she said, you know, it should be an everyday kind of thing, and so we will have other opportunities. And I said, yes, please. And doing some of those types of activities where some of the libraries in the area are already doing and publicizing, I think we can help more people better by aligning ourselves with some of those efforts. So I'm very much looking forward to.
But if we could look at, just examine Wahlberg and see what we can do there other than the Little Free Library, if we can do some program out there. Because
sure.
They were having a problem, and it became a really big presentation at the high school, and they did it at the county council meeting as well, is where the kids have nothing to do. And they had gotten into vaping. And so the kid said, hey, I forgot my flash drive. And so the parent went and got their flash drive, brought it into the school, gave it to the secretary, and the secretary took it to the kid in the class. And it was their vape pen, which you plug in to charge into the USB port. And so then the community said, okay, we've got to get a hold of this. And they found out that it was rampant where they didn't think it would be, because that's a really good community. But they were looking, what can we do as a community to have some events for our kids? And I was thinking that maybe we could help there, but if it's too far for us, or if we don't have the resources, maybe we could partner with Utah County on that side. And just in the future, Strawberry, all the way towards Duchesne County, is going to start to develop. And mostly that's secondary homes right now, so there's not a lot for us to do yet, but in the next 5 years there will be.
And that's still part of our county, even though you have to drive through a different county to get there.
Right, and then but as we build these partnerships with Summit County, that becomes a model for working with Utah and Duchesne. And,
for sure.
And then that the libraries seem to be where we can have common ground, and then politically we can build on top of that for all of these other things that we're starting to do with transportation, and like the census, like you were going to help with that as well.
Yeah.
I would like to see that you not just going over there and helping them, but have sometimes when we invite Summit County over here to help us on things.
Sure, for sure.
I would like to see that it goes both ways, too.
Definitely.
Okay,
just for the board to know, Juan has been to more meetings in the past year than we've had represented in a long time.
I know it.
When I know,
I read his report, he's been everywhere. And I really appreciate that you're meeting with other librarians and sharing things and doing that and giving them ideas, because I know you did that in your previous life, but it's nice that, you know, you're still involved with that.
It is,
because that's a really big help.
That's really valuable to us. It's just one more source that we have to make inroads with our neighboring communities, where in the past Wasatch County has not had any relationship or not positive relationships with our neighbors. So
last night it was interesting. There was a program for the senior center. A lot of people came, and they had a choir singing. And at the end, one of the members of the choir came in. And I look at her. It's a librarian from Park City. And she says, I've never been here. And I said, well, let me tell you about it. So
that's good.
A couple of things on that director's report. We completed the final report of the Community Library Enhancement Fund. That's the grant we get from the state of Utah. Every year the legislature appropriates $500,000 to give to public libraries that are certified by the state, and we are. And they gave us a little portion of that, $8,200 we received earlier this year. We also received an Library Services and Technology Act grant. That's a federal grant, and we use that to purchase two public color printers, one attached to the internet computers so people can do color printing there, and another one attached to the computer lab. We received $4,400. We haven't received it yet, but it's it is coming. And I included the final report that I submitted to the state for cool. those two. There is a very long list of activities. It was handout number 8, I believe. It is truly amazing that every day there is something going on, either in the building or happening outside in schools. And
bringing grenade, I don't think so.
It is. It's not on this one. I only went through handout, so I will pass you mine.
It's I was impressed.
Just because it was so long.
It was really nice to get. I mean, you planned out many months in advance.
Oh,
before
I've seen this,
we usually only get a month,
yeah.
And so when I flipped through that and saw that you're,
yeah.
you know, you're
You've
three
got
four
whole,
months out in advance. That's great.
That's awesome.
It really the staff really programmed. Two big chunks. One is the summer block mm-hmm. when kids are out of school. And those types of programs are slightly different and then the regular school year mm-hmm. programming. We do have a couple of tween-teen programs and a couple of adults. Really, the younger children is our strength.
Yeah. The other nice thing is to have our new building so that we're not getting things canceled by trying to use
sure.
the senior
yes.
part.
Absolutely.
So how are we doing with the use of this room? I mean, what are we at as far as hours that we have available? And
It is right now strictly library use, library programming, library-sponsored programming. For example, we had a... there was a program about support for LGBT teens.
Right,
And I felt the library could support that presentation. And so we made that available. I've had several requests from private individuals trying to rent. I have not developed a policy for that. I think it will have to be very, very close to what our neighbors do on the senior side.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a bad idea to have radically different policies.
The other thing to know is that they have to pay insurance.
Exactly. And that is...
said we can't sponsor those events anymore. We can't have them in our facilities. They have to pay.
And that will be the killer for many, many folks that... maybe a $200 fee just for the insurance itself. It says, no, we're going to have to find another place.
Plus, you know, you want to have a cleanup fee in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because
definitely.
Regardless, you know, everybody will be great, and then that one that trashes it or doesn't mm-hmm. take care of it is kind of... But we have a policy for this room, as I recall.
Yeah, there is, and for the study rooms.
Okay.
So it will be just an addition to that.
We talked about this before you came in and then kind of waited until we got a new director to do it because we've also had requests for private parties in the computer lab
mm-hmm.
and we didn't really want to just open that up. So that's why it hasn't been updated as we wanted it to do with you and do something that covers study rooms, this room, the new one, and the computer lab.
Yeah, I have talked to a couple of folks mm-hmm. that wanted to do that. We have sponsored a class, for example. The seniors have a senior class. Actually, we just provide the computers and the space, and they provide the instructor. There was another individual who wanted to do a Minecraft class, which we already do, but he wanted to do it for a troop or somebody. And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And so if it was available at that time. One of the problems, if you look at that programming, is that
if
in the evening it might be available, but what happens if it's trashed and I have something going on in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
So because of our custodial arrangements, it will fall on us, meaning Ms. Sally or myself, to clean it up. Or arrange the room ready for the program next day. So it adds another element of complication. That should not be the deterrent. I think it will be ultimately the insurance.
I think so too.
Well, but, and we didn't think that it was a good idea to have private birthday parties in there because we would have had to have staff in there, and then whatever happened to the computers, and it was just. Now, and we did talk to other libraries, and they said that they just didn't do it.
Yeah. If we were going to have like a thing where you could pay and we would put on the party,
that would be different.
We could potentially do that, but it still takes a lot of staff time, a lot of prep, a lot of cleaning, so it's really hard to accommodate those type of requests.
And in talking to Ashley, our senior center director, for example, if somebody wanted to have food and they have a deal where there can be catering in that room, if it's from Cora's Kitchen. And so we would try to do something like that to complement them. But honestly, I don't know the insurance, and that's why I really haven't. I've looked at other things instead of that.
And they're real restrictive over there because there's been some public meetings, like with when they were doing off-road vehicles and things like that, and the seniors wouldn't even let the people have water or cookies or anything for the people that were coming to the open house. So they're really restrictive over there.
They do take care of
it. Was set up to where we could have, some food events and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, that's the beauty of those two spaces. And it can be locked so that there is no traffic into the library. Mm-hmm. It could be self-contained. So the impact on staffing, just ensuring that people are in, and then at the end, doors are locked, which is something similar already going in the senior center. So I think we already have a process and good policies in place. We just need to formalize it on this side.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of requests?
At least once a week.
Yeah, it's pretty often, and then what will happen is when they run into the problem on that side, if they don't have to pay the insurance, then they want to get it sponsored, and so they'll come to the county council and try to get us to sponsor some of these events. Mm-hmm. So we need to have some kind of guidelines that you want the council to follow, where
we can sponsor some things. Yeah,
right.
And right now, honestly, it has fallen upon me to make that decision whether the goals of the meeting or the class, the presentation, falls in line to what we are doing in the library in terms of information and all that. But it is a gray area. And
we want people to know they can use it, and we want it used. We don't want it locked up.
Yeah, for sure.
And having people know they can't use it.
But that is telling me that the opportunities to have something like that elsewhere in the community, they're not that many.
And the seniors are not very approachable or accommodating. And when we originally built this building, that was supposed to be a community room, not a senior room, a community room. And it's not being that in the community. So that's hard.
Yeah. Anyway, if there are no other questions on the report, that's just give me a call, send me a note, and we can chat about anything else on that. Okay, well, let's see. So we did the Friends of the Library. I did hear from Ed Little. They have not met as a group. So he said, I really don't have anything to report.
Okay.
So he says they're trying to get together.
Do we have anything that we can help them with so that we don't start to lose our friends group?
I think when I presented the idea that they should pursue their own nonprofit status, seeking a 501c3 designation from the IRS, that may have discouraged them. But in my everything I know from friends groups and in conversation with Mike Davis and Barry Hollows, it is just the county is really pushing support groups, friends groups, to be autonomous and have their own designation.
Don't we know, when we created the group, we knew that. When we brought it back, we knew that, and that was going to be part of the transition.
And I think anything I can do to prepare for that, but that's probably...
Do they just not have the resources, the time or expertise to kind of follow up on that?
My feeling is that the summer, I think folks were really out of the county, but I would hope that things pick up again. Unfortunately, I haven't.
Well, I think Scott said
heard of
that,
any
that his CPA firm that he'd worked for before, it cost him $5,000. But it doesn't cost $5,000 to put together a nonprofit. It just doesn't. And I don't know that they've been out and talked to some people who may be an attorney in the county or a CPA or something who might be willing to donate, you know, a little bit of time to just draw that up for them. Because it's not an expensive process by any means to do that.
It might be something Scott can do. He might be willing to help, at least guide them.
Yeah, and
he never talked that way. That
and talking with Mike, we agreed that it's not rocket science.
Yes.
There's just a lot of paperwork. There is a process. There is.
And I'm happy to help. So that would be good. Maybe we'll let
somebody to review those.
Yeah,
but
I think we just forgot about one of our new resources.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason we liked her.
I figured.
Well, I would like to recognize Sam Passy, director of Uinta County Library, joining us. And perfect timing. We were moving into...
I should copy the agenda somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh. We just shared...
Where did it go? I did have a copy for you. Never mind.
There's good traffic between you and I here today. Or not traffic, road work.
Yeah.
Actually, before we go into that, I do want to... make the report on library expenditures.
Okay.
It was handout number 9 on the packet. Now, it's not...
Not in here?
Not
I didn't get that far.
All right.
But
I did look at it.
You can take a look at mine. I have received the documents from the deputy auditor, Barry Hollows, to start preparing the budget that will be presented... I'm assuming pretty soon, to Mike Davis. My intention is to meet with him. Just he can walk me through some of those. I wish the form that they use was an electronic form, maybe a spreadsheet. Right now it's just a PDF. And what I'm going to have to do is, and I tried to scan it and make it, but unfortunately I don't.
Formatting.
It didn't work. So I'm going to do
and
just...
And he doesn't know how to fix it?
Do my own categories. Just copy and then do it on a spreadsheet. A lot, I believe, is going to be the same as last year with a couple of big changes. Now, remember, our fiscal year runs from January through December. Mm-hmm. September, people are preparing budgets, submitting for to the council, preparing for the new year. Unfortunately, as I understand it, we've been spending money that we have not received yet. Most of our revenues come in late in the year, about November, when the property taxes are turned in. And so when you look at the revenue side, it looks very scary. Right, but we always cross our fingers and hope that revenues will come in.
Revenues, though, that we projected in the budget last year, we should have higher revenues than what we projected based on the growth and the valuation of the county.
That would be good.
With the caveat that people and businesses pay their own time.
Of course.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And the issue of the $104,000 that were paid as part of the addition, we were able to definitely find the expenditures, where those came from. And it was from Paulson Construction. There were three or four bills that came in after the first of the year, even though they were, for work done after the first of the year.
Right.
And so unfortunately, they were not part of that big construction payment that was done in 2018. And of course, we hadn't actually figured that out. One of the things we may do recuperate some costs there is that we are very slow in purchasing items. We have purchased a lot of materials, but not nearly as much as we have in the past. So we might see some savings there that we can help offset some of those costs.
I was looking at the fines line, and really they had budgeted that you make $19,000 a year from fines.
Funny you should mention.
Because I know we're talking about going fineless.
Yeah.
But I thought $19,000 a year from fines is huge.
In 2017, it was 18,000, and 2018 was 20,000.
And did they make it?
Yeah. Yeah, those
are what they ended up with.
Right. And so don't keep an open mind when we reach
that. That seems.
I owe about $10.
That's a lot.
But I'm waiting for food for fines.
That's a lot of 10 cents a day.
That is.
Just as an aside, I think it reflects that we've been very aggressive at collecting fines, mm-hmm. even the nickels and dimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Philosophically, that is difficult for me to observe transactions across the desk, and you welcome somebody with a smile. Hi, how are you? And you can't check out because you got 50 cents.
I thought it was $5. You had to have over five for it to not let you check out.
One thing is policy. One thing could be the policy. The other one is the practice. Unfortunately, we have a practice where we are fairly aggressive at collecting mm-hmm. fines.
Well, they don't ever make me pay them number five.
And that creates a problem. So I would like to address that when we talk about
that's just why I was bringing it up now,
policy.
So we can address it when we talk about going fineless.
Mm-hmm. Concerns, questions on the budget.
So are we going to be over budget this year?
We kind of thought we were.
If our projected revenues come in.
I don't know.
Do you know how close we'll be?
I don't think the savings in the collection
is going to save us.
Will amount to $104,000. Maybe 50. But not all of them.
It'll be a lot. So we're going to be short?
Yeah.
What kind of fund balance do you have? Is it healthy enough to absorb that?
I believe.
That's always a tricky answer to get from any county.
Mm-hmm. I believe the balances, as I understand from Barry, it was used last year. Mm-hmm. With payments for the addition of the multipurpose room, the craft room, we had a very healthy balance, but that's pretty much gone.
Yeah, all of our surplus was moved over for that building, so it looks like we're going to be about 60 or 80 short, maybe, depending on how much revenue comes in.
Yes.
New growth. I'm pretty sure it's there. Just the
evaluation. Council member.
We've been very aggressive in our evaluation on the county this past 2 years.
You mentioned growth, and I hope growth and some responsible parties paying bills on time.
If you want to give me or email me a copy of the budget thing, I do that a lot for work in scanning documents and reformatting and setting it up. So why don't you email me that budget and see if I can do something for you.
Thank
with
you.
It.
Yeah.
Turn it into a Word doc for you.
I'm going to meet with Barry next week, and I'll talk to him about this as well and see what he is projecting for us to get for his revenues.
Yeah, we were going to talk a little bit on Wednesday, but I got
sidetracked. It's probably hard for you because you haven't been here a full year either to know how things go. So you walked into this budget one. So.
You walked into this budget, interesting budget. Mm-hmm. But we have not been over budget.
No, we've had an enormous surplus.
Yeah.
For years because there's a lot of money squirreled away in different pockets. But also, you know, how you pay the bills on the construction can really make a difference in our budget. So whether the county, because the county pays some portion and we pay some other portion. So I think the county is paying like $400,000. But did the county pay, who paid what when?
Yeah.
And we can work with the county to work that out if we need to.
I don't know what face I had when I met with Mike, but he was... don't worry about it. It'll work out. And so he seemed to play it down, but and say we will be okay, but it still means that we will owe that money to the county.
But Mike's known about this potential problem for over a year.
Right.
I've kept him up to date. You know, even before I knew it was going to be a problem, I thought it might be. So.
We've known for a while that we might not make it.
Yeah, I think when in April when I came on board, that figure was about 50,000, mm-hmm. and then we received the other invoice or two. I think it was one more, and then we had that final figure.
So did we pay it?
Yeah, those are paid. When I talked to Mike, I was talking about 104, and. I mean, he looked at me and kind of smiled in his face. Said, yeah, you'll be okay.
So this would have happened even without hiring Juan. We would have been over.
I'm sure that not helped very much.
But you're helping us go through so much that it's worth everything.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
No regrets about it.
No regrets.
I think it's worth it.
That's what you need to know is that we have
no regrets. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where it came from. The expenditures were necessary, and we're going to be fine at the end of next year. And we knew there was a transition.
And the feedback about the new facility, holy smokes. I mean, people use it and are very comfortable, and it serves its purpose very well.
But we still have donations maybe coming in from the tree? I mean, we haven't.
I don't know that they've solicited.
I think that goes to the friends, though.
Yeah, that goes to the friends, but does it go straight to their friends' budget?
The way it sits right now, it's that the friends at the ribbon cutting passed the tree and the process of the collecting revenues from the donation tree to the county. So the county could receive it as a not-for-profit entity. And the donor can rightly say, I have made this donation. Because they did not want to start receiving donations without having their own IRS.
But that's not going to generate a lot of revenue.
I know, but
it's not even out there. I mean, for people to know how to donate.
Right, and so
family would like to donate eventually when we get it.
But that's why I haven't pushed it very much, because I would love to have the friends have their own 501c3 and then let them work on that.
And that would be nice. Our next project to do is to get the tree down and get it going. That would be good.
Yeah, they need some help with the 501c3. Mm-hmm. I'm 1-3C, is that right?
C3. Mm-hmm. Okay. If...
I want to get sworn in.
Leave the numbers.
So I'll talk to Barry next week.
Okay.
And just keep talking with Barry and Mike. Just keep talking to them. Yeah. Even if there's no new information, just keep talking, because when it happens, it's going to go like that.
Yeah. All right.
Once you get sworn in next month or whatever it is.
Today is lesson number one, children.
Oh, boy.
About something called an ILS. Who besides Sam knows what an ILS is?
I do.
No, it's not for navigation.
Is it on the paper?
Yeah.
It's on their paper.
There is somebody who reads documents for a living.
Oh, there you go, right there.
So the integrated library system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's basically our catalog. And honestly, I thought the catalog was dying. I thought the catalog is not very useful as a catalog. But I started drawing some of this to understand all of the pieces that we have to pay for. We have to pay for that are connected to our catalog. So our catalog is called, ILS is called Horizon, from a company called Searcy Dynex. Searcy Dynex started out many, many years ago in Utah County. And it's been sold multiple times. I don't know where they are now. But they are a large company. And personally, I don't think the software has kept up with many changes and expectations in the market.
Did we do the WIMBA package a couple of years ago?
WIMBA?
Yeah, Horizon WIMBA. I thought we did the
WIMBA. No, WIMBA used to be for training over the internet. So I don't know if there was another package.
I thought we did like a 3-year contract, but I didn't know if we renewed or not with WIMBA.
Interestingly enough, the Horizon has two big things, a big catalog of people, mm-hmm. and then a big catalog of resources, the books, the magazines, mm-hmm. the DVDs. And so it manages those two things. But there are a lot of things to go into it. For example, when we want to connect the people to the internet, their card is tied to that. So we have a program that manages that PC reservation. And to collect the money, that's another program, LPT1, that pings to the ILS and says, yeah, this person has an account with us. They can go ahead and use the computer. We have another piece of software and hardware to manage the self-checkout. You can check your items out, and we use it also on the staff side. We have a whole bunch of other software to manage electronic content, and each of those come at a price. For example, Searcy is very good at charging for little things like this thing called the SIP2. It's just a port. It's just a configuration and a program that allows an outsider to come in and use those, either the patron database or the collection database. And by opening that port, then we're letting somebody take a look at that and provide some service. Well, there's a cost associated for that. And each one of these uses that port, and of course, they charge us for that. You can pay your fines online. You cannot pay it at the desk because we don't have a credit card reader. But so we have to go to another computer and have you log in, and then you can pay online. That's called this one. You can receive a newsletter with the items that we added in the last 30 days in your email. Well, that's this one. When you bring up the
an entry for this book at the bottom and says, and by the way, you may like this other one, or read more about the author. That's this one. Each one of those has a cost. It's supposed to enhance your experience, the usability, the functionality for the staff. Some of the software in charge of security and virus scanning and all of those things. So honestly, I did this for myself to try to understand all the pieces that are coming together. Very, very quickly, like on my first 5 minutes on the desk, I realized I hate Cersei Dynex's product. It is not...
We like candor.
It is not very user-friendly for the patron side or for the staff side.
And do the staff... Are the staff involved in it at all, or do you spend most of the time?
No, the staff spend most of the time. And they really don't complain because they've used it all the time. And when I said, okay, here is the example when, I will tell you very, very frankly, and yes, it's being recorded, the worst experience I had as a reference librarian was across the desk. When a patron came and said, you know, my card says it expired. Okay, let me find out. I could not figure out how to get into the patron's account. So I asked for help. Can you show me? To my coworker, my staff member. Oh, yeah, click here and you enter the number and it opens this screen. Oh, I can see the patron's account. Thank you. Oh, now I can see that, yeah, the address is fine. Address is fine. Now what do I do? Something in this account is telling me that the patron cannot use it. There must be some sort of date or they owe too much money. I don't see that. I ask for help again. And the patron was there and a couple of kids were with her. And I had to say, you know, I am so sorry. I am new here. And I said, can you help me again? And the staff member said, yes, boss. And he said, oh, yeah, you can do this. And then another window pops up. And then to do this, you go into this other menu, this other window pops up. I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. I was thoroughly confused. And she said, well, here is the date that expired. We just need to change the date, verify that they still live in the county.
15 minutes later.
And so, and I was thoroughly mortified, and I said, I am so sorry this is taking so long. And we got it to work, and then the patron was very nice. I said, hey, thank you very much. As they were walking around, the kid turns around and says, and that was the boss. I called you that day. And when we were on the phone and I was telling my story to Sam, Sam says, well, I just made two clicks and I can get into my Patreon account and check that out. No big deal. And so I said, what are you using? No, and I, so... Interestingly enough, we received the renewal for Cersei Dynex, the contract. Am I allowed to say the price they're quoting us?
Sure.
$15,000 for renewal for 1 year of service. And it's coming up soon.
And I'll fight that too.
I'm sorry?
I will fight that too.
And... One of the another difficulty we've had is that in order when we want to run a report to tell us something about the system or our patrons or the way we're using our circulation, and it's not working quite right, we can submit a ticket to the company, and their technicians, customer service, will work on it and eventually respond. If there is something we want changed slightly, we have to request for an, they call that an enhancement, and that goes into a priority list. And depending on how many other customers are requesting that same feature,
just to alter a report,
it might bump that up the priority list that they will work on it. It never happens. So it is very difficult to ask for a customization for that proprietary software. So what are the options? There are other products out there, proprietary products. For larger libraries, academic libraries and universities, smaller libraries. We're kind of in the medium size to smaller. And so we could look at other proprietary software. A third option is an open source, meaning there is no cost for the program itself. And if you had a super guru who understands this particular ILS, open source ILS, you could pretty much do it on your own. If you don't have that, then there's a couple of companies out there who can manage it for you. If you don't like this company, you can throw it away. You still retain all your open source ILS and then hire somebody else to come and do the maintenance for it. The first in Utah that started it, I believe, and so there are the two big products I know of are called Koha and Evergreen, right? There might be other ones that I don't know about, but those are the two big ones that many libraries have started implementing. The first one in Utah to use Koha was Grand County, Moab, and they've been doing it for several years, so they were right there pushing the envelope. Sam has started exploring it a few years ago and created a consortium with Uinta County and Duchesne County and established some reciprocal borrowing agreements to enhance services across the Uinta Basin. They brought along also the library and the Ute tribe and reached out to them and provided some professional advice and technical assistance. Two kickers for me were when Spanish Fork adopted Koha. In Spanish Fork, I know those librarians are not the most technologically savvy, and they don't have an in-house technology staff. But they decided to go with it. So whatever IT they have, either from the city or on their own from somebody else, they made it work. And the other big one is I heard of a large, and I can't remember which university is, a university.
Virginia Tech just moved to it.
Virginia Tech, was it?
Virginia Tech, Snow College, Westminster.
Academic ILSs are extremely complicated. They manage a lot of electronic resources, digital resources. Their collections are huge. The requirements for processing, when they place an order of an item, it goes right into the catalog. When they receive it, they just update the catalog. So it is a much, much more complicated resource, process than we use. And it works.
Okay, I got to interrupt.
Yes.
I have to go. Okay. But I will be right back. I'll be back, I promise. But I do need to go support her quick.
Okay. What we can do is we can just suspend the meeting until Heather returns. Do you know how long you'll be?
If I'm going to the church, let's see, the parade started. Hopefully I can get out of the library.
I think you're going to have a hard time getting back.
If I go out here and go down Main Street and come up 600, then I should be okay.
I was going to say, yeah, if you go 600.
Yeah, if I go out this way and come back up
600. You know what? It's probably best if we just adjourn. We can still hear the presentation. We can fill her in later. We just can't take any kind of action.
Yeah, no.
And so I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.